Elissa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back to YSR and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. And one of the hot topics this summer is Pokemon Go. It is a craze all over the world, the new game service that eagerly awaited by fans all over and finally launched in July. My oldest son, in fact, he thinks it is the absolute coolest. We're anxious to learn more about it. That's why we have invited back from Block 6 Analytics, the CEO and founder, Adam Grossman. Good evening, Adam. It's nice to have you back.
Great to be back.
All right, so let's break it all down. Pokemon Go. Players are flocking to sports stadiums to catch more Pokemon. Give us the breakdown, the who, what, why. I mean, the impact of Pokemon Go augmented reality mobile games on sports. What is it doing?
Yeah, I think augmented reality is something that's going to really deeply impact sports. And basically what augmented reality is you have your own, you have your own setting, you have your own place. So think about your backyard, and if you could layer on in your backyard, if you had a basketball hoop in your backyard, mm-hmm. you could layer on your favorite team. So the Houston Rockets or, Los Angeles Lakers, you could have their court on your backyard. So, or you could have your favorite player stats as you're shooting hoops on your own backyard. So the idea of augmenting what's currently happening in your reality is something that's really going to, I think, take hold on sports. And specifically with Pokemon Go, the idea here is that they have little monsters that you go and catch. And the idea of catching them at different sports venues where we can aggregate a bunch of different people creates a really interesting opportunity for sports organizations that the Sacramento Kings, Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks have already had Pokemon Go nights. I think you'll see that throughout the country, throughout the NBA, but not just in the NBA and different sports leagues, where they can take advantage of this Pokemon Go craze in order to generate some more money.
Okay, so Adam, how long do you think this craze is going to last? Is this another fad?
It's really funny you mentioned that, because I saw an article where, in doing some research for the article that I wrote for Forbes, where the guy who invented Pokemon actually thought it was a joke, like that he thought nobody would actually like this.
Uh-huh.
And so the joke is really on all of us, and especially him, I guess. But the idea is that, probably a good way of looking at it is, when Pokemon first came out, there was definitely a craze for the first
couple
years.
Oh, I remember, yes.
Yeah, right. And I'm not sure it's going to last as long as that, but if you think of games like Candy Crush or Farmville, you can probably use those as good baselines, and those had, pretty good runs for a couple years. I don't think so. The extreme popularity is not going to last for very much longer. But the popularity of Pokemon, given the emphasis on nostalgia, particularly from Nintendo, which has not only released Pokemon but also released its old gaming console in a much smaller form, and those things combined have helped Nintendo just become almost triple its value as a company just from those two things alone.
Well, Pokemon Go, it is a smashing hit. Are you surprised that there are so many enthusiasts? And I got to ask you personally, I was talking to my producer about this, David, tonight. I mean, he's not on board. Are you on board?
It's a good question. I'm on board with other people doing it, I guess.
Vicarious thrill, okay.
Yeah, I do get the appeal of it, and I do think there's actually a lot of benefits that can come from it. In particular, just getting people outside. One of the things that sports organizations are really facing as a challenge is actually getting people to come to the venue. I think we've talked about this a little bit before in a previous interview, but the idea of leaving your couch when you have, your big screen TV, you have
yes.
your favorite food,
uh-huh.
you have Wi-Fi
yeah.
that is working correctly, it's getting harder and harder for sports organizations at times to attract fans to their venues. The idea of getting people out, getting people to the venue, getting people to, getting to the places where sporting events are happening, and not just sports. I mean, all these different, whether it's museums, parks, open spaces, I think that generally is a good benefit. Now, we want to be careful not that people are, there's been a couple of automobile accidents and people kind of getting off in the middle of the highway to take over these Pokemon monsters. So I think it can be an extreme, don't go to the extreme, but
That's
I think
true.
Overall, I think it's a good thing.
Okay, the CEO and founder of Block 6 Analytics, he is also a lecturer for Northwestern University, the Master Sports Administration Program. That is Adam Grossman. He is always such an intriguing guest when he joins us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love for you to connect with us. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and Adam, reach out to our national audience. How can they connect with you?
Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Block 6 Analytics or on Facebook at Block 6 Analytics as well, or you can follow me personally at Adam R. Grossman.
Oh, Adam is so talented. He has so many articles, his latest in Forbes magazine, which highlights UFC uses new media to secure a $4 billion score, the WWE expanding playing field with this IMG acquisition. Tell us, you talk about the ultimate return on an investment. I mean, you were $4 billion. Are you serious?
Yeah, and it's, as we mentioned in the article and in my book, The Sports Strategist, the UFC was almost on the verge of bankruptcy in 2005, and to go from on the verge of bankruptcy of 2005 to 2016 being purchased for $4 billion, that is a great return on investment. But, and this is actually goes back to Pokemon Go, what sports organizations can do more frequently is use new technology channels in order to monetize more traditional ways of making money. So the idea being that UFC started by, especially when reality TV was first starting to become popular, it took advantage of that opportunity. And the UFC made huge investments into social media as social media was beginning to become more and more important. And the idea of making investments in non-traditional channels helps the UFC not only pack the venues for UFC fights, you know, whether it's UFC 100, 200, but also to help them charge a premium for their pay-per-view bouts. So they've really been able to expand because they made investments and smart investments into new technologies and new channels for sports organizations.
Okay, so do you think, Adam, that this sport is getting ready to go to a whole new level? I mean, as we've talked about, you were talking about 2005, incredible growth and expansion in such a short amount of time. With the new ownership, will they continue to accelerate that growth?
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting. I think UFC individual stars have become more and more famous. They've been, you know, movies, television shows. The UFC has a specific plan. One of the things that they've done is they've legalized mixed martial arts in every state in the United States. You know, in 2000, that took a long time, but and New York was the last holdout, and it finally passed legislation. So, I think the sky can be, a little bit, I say the sky's the limit to a certain extent with UFC, but the idea of, the demographics they're targeting, the way that they use social media, the way that they can use new technologies, the way that they have already, monetized a certain audience group, there's definitely a demand for that kind of content and those types of fights. And I think, as it's becoming more and more mainstream, the more and more likely it is to grow as an organization.
Well, remarkable that at $4 billion, it stands to be the most expensive transaction for an organization in sports history. Let's shift gears as we are running out of time. Kevin Durant, he makes the big crossover, the switch, and goes to Golden State. How big of a hit has his brand taken?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the brand hit might be more on the initial feedback rather than the overall brand hit. So one of the things that my company does is we've created a model that determines the value of a player to a specific team based on their on-field and off-field, or in this case, on-court and off-court contributions to a specific team. And we found actually Kevin Durant's value is going to go up by him joining Golden State. So part of that is that the teams are just going to have more money. And one of the things we look at is how the player helped generate television revenue. And that will change year over year. But the biggest winner actually is not whether it's, when you're looking at it, though, is Russell Westbrook. He makes a huge jump because of Kevin Durant leaving. You know, Kevin Durant is definitely going to improve, and I think he's going to, we have in our model for 2016, we have Kevin Durant at, as a pretty high earner, and we have him at about, he's going to be contributing $75 to $76 million in overall value to the Golden State Warriors, which is a significant amount of money, but
wow.
Compare that to Russell Westbrook. So in our model, we have him at almost at $94 million. So I think the big winner purely from a, how is this person going to contribute value to an organization perspective might be Russell Westbrook.
And that'll be interesting, absolutely, to watch. Just the Kevin Durant departure, how that's going to impact his brand. And you talk about KD, I mean, a massive superstar. And I just hate to see how his kind of golden boy image, it kind of took a hit, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it takes a hit in the short term, but it might be similar to what happened with LeBron. I mean, LeBron seemed to have taken a hit in
good
the short
point,
term
yeah.
when he moved to Miami. And then overall, and obviously that's only gotten more, his brand has only grown since the Cleveland won the championship. But even before that, the original hit did not, the amount that he was able to grow his brand, even in Miami, more than made up for the initial hit that he took when he moved to Miami.
Hey, the CEO and founder of Block 6 Analytics, Adam Grossman. He's a regular guest right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Again, Adam, tell all of our audience where they can go and check you out.
Yeah, check us out at block6analytics.com. You'll see us regularly on Forbes and in Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn.
Absolutely. Listen, we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at hour number two at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Quinn Buckner, the VP of Communications and Television Analyst with the Indiana Pacers. They have made some savvy moves in the offseason, and we are going to break it all down.